Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
And here the parents are reading and knitting at night, and he's making all kinds of noises, you see. And this one is where he's doing the sound effects for a Western show. The reason he's got the cowboy hat on is because it's a Western. He's galloping like a horse and doing gunshots, and of course, it's all coming out of his mouth.
you had done a lot of Mr. Magoo's.
I hadn't done any Mr. Magoo's because Jim Backus was Mr. Magoo right from the beginning. And Jerry Hausner, I think it was, played Waldo. Yeah. And I think those were the only regular characters in it. Mm-hmm. Later on, I did a couple. But then in the, I guess it was the late 60s, they did a television series mm-hmm. called The Famous Adventures of Mr. Magoo.
Yeah.
And what they did was adapt famous literary properties to it and have Mr. Magoo play one of the characters. Now, for instance, in Robin Hood, he was Friar Tuck. And in Treasure Island, he was Long John Silver. Mm-hmm. We know, and it was wild casting, because he would play it as Magoo, mm-hmm. which kind of threw a monkey wrench into the storyline. Yeah. You know?
I haven't gotten a response back from him yet.
Who, Backus?
Yeah.
Oh, that's odd. He hasn't working that much these days.
Yeah, I sent him the letter about the same time I sent the letter to you.
But anyhow, that was being done by UPA. That's one of the last things that they did at UPA. And they called me. The guy who was producing him was a chap by the name of George Gordon. And I'd worked for him at another studio, which did some animation on industrials, and I'd done a lot of voices for them and also straight narrations. And he called me and he said, you're such a handy guy to have around. We'd like to sign you to a contract on this and do all of them. And we'll pay you, it was an overscale figure. Not great, but not big overscale, but considerably overscale. And I said, I'd be delighted. So I did all of those shows. My favorite one, I think, was Midsummer Night's Dream. Mm. And in that, I did something like five characters. Mm. I played one of the young lovers, I played Oberon, and I played Bottom, which was great fun, you know, because when he turns into the donkey. And I think Magoo was Puck. Which is really wild, you know. And in Robin Hood, Howard, what the hell is his last name? Morris. You know Howard Morris. Remember Howard Morris? Very funny actor. Did a lot of things on camera in movies. But also was a very good director for comedy in movies. He was one of the regulars on the original Steve Allen show. Remember, there were about four guys who were regulars. And some of them went
face.
On.
I have to see his face.
Little guy, very little. Fairly narrow face, but a round chin and a high forehead, a receding hairline. He's practically got no hair on the top now. And not such an offbeat character as Don Knotts, but more or less in that direction. But vocally, he could do all kinds of things. Well, he played Robin Hood. And as I said, Jim was Friar Tuck as Mr. Magoo.
Don Knotts is another one that I've written. Haven't gotten a response.
Oh, you haven't? Yeah. He's a nice guy. Worked with him a number of times.
I just think some of the people are so busy, you know.
It may be. He never seems to be out of work. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But anyhow, in the thing, I did the Sheriff of Nottingham, Little John. Who else did I do? Sheriff of Nottingham, Little John. I know I did about five characters in it. Hmm. So that was, you know, those were tricky. Of course, you can get by with doubling in cartoons where you can't do it in other fields, you know, because you, the kids or whoever is looking at a character and the voice is really secondary while they're looking at it.
Yeah.
It was tougher in radio because there you really had to make them distinct, so there was never any mistake as to who was talking. In a cartoon show, you can see who's talking.
We touched upon Disney for a moment. Now you did four.
I narrated Sleeping Beauty, which was a theatrical film. You know, it was a full size feature, like did, Snow White.
You narrated that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's an accomplishment there. It's a classic.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's not as famous as Snow White, but it comes close. And I did a story on old cars, narrated the whole thing. I did a story on Joel Chandler Harris, which was supporting the movie they made, the animated movie about Uncle Remus. Mm-hmm. Remember, there was an Uncle Remus feature, all cartoons, you know. Well, Joel Chandler Harris was the author of Uncle Remus, so this was a story about him, and it used parts of the cartoon show, anyhow, it was an area. And then the last one that I did was called The Proud Bird from Shanghai, and I think I mentioned that. That was about 3 years ago. Yeah. It was a story about pheasant, the ringneck pheasant, and how it actually, most people think of pheasants as being indigenous to the United States. Well, they're not. They were brought over from Shanghai. Brought over from China. Mm-hmm. It was brought over to, there were, I think, something like seven of them brought over by an American consul at Shanghai and turned loose in Oregon. Mm. And pheasants are polygamous. One cock has about two or three hens. Mm-hmm. And each one, I think there were three cocks, and one of them had two hens, and one of them had three, and so forth. And a couple of them, you know, according to this story, were killed, particularly the hens. Mm-hmm. And one cock lost both his hens, and he steals the hens from the star, the one who's the lead role. And then they have a big fight toward the end of the picture, and he gets them back. But it was all live action. You know, this was actually shot in wherever there are ringneck pheasants. And there were a couple of human characters in it, but there was no on-camera dialogue. It was all narration. The whole thing was narration. Yeah. And I did that.
Yeah, I remember about this nature programs.
Well, I did a number of his... they have books for kids with records. And you turn the page and follow the record. And I did, I think, about four or five of those.
No, that was a nature?
No, they were famous stories. One on Aladdin and, your famous kid stories. They did a slide film version of Hans Brinker and the Silver Skates. And I narrated that. Oh, I've done an awful lot for him in smaller ways.
It's nice
besides,
to work for Disney, I guess, isn't it?
Well, it's a funny place. You never feel that you're firmly entrenched.
Yeah. Sure.
Of course, these days I don't feel firmly entrenched any place. But there, you know, there was a time, beginning of UPA, anything UPA did, I was a part of it.
Sure.
Uh-huh. I didn't have anything to do with
Magoo. Can you run off some quick names of some of the other things you did for UPA?
Oh God!
I mean, I know they you did. I know you did a lot of little extra voices.
They did a thing called the Oompas, which mm-hmm. was a story of a family of horns, and I did that. I don't remember whether I just narrated it or whether I played Papa Oompa, but you know, you had the actual sounds of the horns. I can see the characters in my mind without remembering what the titles were. I'd have to look it up. I've got a book, you know, of everything I did, which is actually my ledger tells when they paid me.
Is it like a scrapbook
kind of thing? No, it's a ledger. Mm-hmm. But in it, I always entered the name of the thing and what I did in it. So that would be the one record, you know, that would tell. You want me to go out and get it? I can do that. Wait a minute. As a matter of fact, it's up here.
Well, sure. Yeah. Give you all the credit you deserve.
I hope it goes back far enough. Because I came out here in 44. And I started working for UPA right after they began their production. I don't know when that was. It may have been in the 50s. And I think this book goes back to the beginning of the 60s. I have the rest of them outside, but I don't... this should give us some stuff. The other show I did for Filmation, by the way, I mentioned the characters in Fantastic Boys. Yeah, I did their first successful kid show series for television, too, which was Aquaman.
Aquaman.
And I was Aquaman.
Yeah. Now, what was that character like, if you were to describe that?
A wet Batman. Because he had a sidekick who was a kid, who was Aqualad. Oh, hell, I think they're still running it. Now, this goes back to 62.
I'm meeting with Fritz Freleng later.
Oh, are you?
This week.
Well, I did a number of things for them. As you know, I did the narration on the Pink Panther, and I played a lot of the characters in The Inspector.
And Anthony Aardvark and Tijuana Toads.
I did one each in those. And there was another show they had called Here Comes the Grump. Rip Taylor was the Grump, and all the other characters in it were incidental. And I was always on that show doing some of them. Avery Schreiber did a lot of them. And there were other people, too. But I worked almost every other every show on that. And, let's see. Well, I did, you know, they've got Magoo now.
Yeah, it's come back now.
But, I mean, DePatie Freleng is doing it. Not UPA.
Now it is?
Yes. And I did one last year for him.
That's interesting.
Played the two supporting characters in it.
Now, that's, is that out now?
Yeah, it was done for television.
Yeah.
It was a half-hour show. I don't think it's a series.
Yeah, I know a guy who did quite a bit of the drawings for Mr. Magoo, a guy named Bill Hertz. He's a cartoon. Done a lot of work for Hanna-Barbera. That's someone else. Both of those people I'm going to be seeing soon.
Yeah, well, it was a funny thing. I tell you the story on that. I did, one or two years I was on every other show they did. And a couple of them, like the Herculoids and some of the others that never got to be real famous, I was on all of them.
Yeah, never heard of Galaxy Trio, never heard of that.
Yeah, and there was another one.
Fantastic Four.
Four, yeah. Well, now, isn't that funny? Fantastic Four is now a new show for DePatie Freleng.
They pick it up, yeah. They went there and bought...
Maybe they bought it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyhow...
I was talking with a lady named Sandra Lindsay. She's the head of the children's programming for CBS. And she was talking about how one program, I forget which one she was talking about now, was actually used by all three networks in 3 years. Can you believe that?
Well, anyhow, the year I was doing that, a show finally came up that I got the lead on. It was called Shazam. And it was about, he was a big giant, and the two little kids carried him in his hand or on his ears or wherever, you know. And he had a big, hearty laugh. And I auditioned for it, and I got the lead. So we did the whole series, And then they got ready to put it on in the fall, and it was supposed to go on CBS, and Fred Silverman, who's now the great genius, yeah, you know, but who was then in charge of kid programs for CBS, mm-hmm, didn't like the character. And they redid the voice of Shazam with Barney Phillips. And Joe Barbera went to my agents, that had gotten, you know, that always represented me with them, uh-huh, and said, look, we're going to have to make Marv the goat on this because we can't admit that we directed him wrong. The reason I got the job was that I had this big laugh. Mm-hmm. And Silverman felt that the laugh was a villainous laugh, uh-huh, instead of a hearty Santa Clausy laugh, you know, mm-hmm, because it was, whoa, you know, one of those. That's what they liked. That's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And instead of letting me redo it, they got somebody else to redo it and blamed it on me. Mm-hmm. And he said, but we want you to know that we're going to have to make him the goat on this because we can't take the blame. You know, what the hell? We can't put ourselves in that spot with CBS. But he'll work for us forever. And that was the end of it. The next year, no calls.
Oh, really? Huh.
Now, both of the two directors that I worked for all the time were Lou Marshall and Art Scott. I don't know where Art is now. He was stayed there for long years after, but I think he was afraid to use me because Barbera would object. Mm-hmm. But Marshall left. He couldn't take it. And Marshall is now out at DePatie Freeling. I did an audition for him just the other day, and it was he who did the Magoo show that I did.
So there's still some form of blacklisting in a way, isn't there?
Well, I don't know why there would be a blacklist, you know. I think Barbera was just embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah.
But they couldn't very well, you know, say he's not to be used anymore.
Yeah,
Because what the hell? I had done so many shows for him.
Yeah, there was one situation with Vance Kolvik where he did some voices for Hanna-Barbera, and when they found out that he was working for Larry Harmon,
yeah,
who owns Bozo,
uh-huh,
they didn't use him anymore. In fact, they didn't even talk to him anymore. And they wouldn't accept his calls or anything. And it wasn't until Vance ran into Joe Barbera's secretary in the supermarket and found out that he wasn't working for, Larry, mm-hmm, Harmon, that he was working for the station instead. He got a call from Joe Barbera the next day for a job.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, so. And to finish this off, this Hanna-Barbera section, I have Birdman and Moby Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any thing you can tell me about Space Ghost or Johnny Quest?
No, I just played incidental characters on them, on a couple of them. The ones that, let's see if I can find Hanna-Barbera in here real fast and so I can answer those questions. See, I have to go through all this other material here to find it, if that's what makes the problem.
Audio book records, now.
They're the people who, you know, for whom I did the Bible and uh-huh, all these other ones that I was telling you about.
Yeah, you did Pinocchio, but that wasn't right, associated with Disney at all.
No, no.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. No, I didn't have anything to do with that. The funny thing, Disney never used me, never thought of me much as a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's Johnny Quest. I played Abdul, the number two villain in it. The other things I did from that year were spots. Yeah, they should all be in here. The next year, it's a TV film. The Goodrich. Oh, yeah, there were spots for PF Flyers. I did their commercials for a couple of years.
Oh, really? I remember that.
Yeah. Space Ghost. Well, that was a... There was another one. It just says Space Villain. I don't have any idea what he was.
Now, the Electra Woman and Dinah Girl and Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Yes.
Is all pretty much the same.
They're live action. And I'm the narrator on them.
Yeah, but I mean, the narration is pretty much the same kind of high charged.
Well, it's almost a march of time, the way they do them. They didn't use the Batman technique, you know, the very excited, high monotone type of. This was almost Orson Welles-ish, you know, that kind of thing. But deadly serious. Yeah, here we get into Fantastic Four, played. Oh, Christ. No, I can't, because you've got the machine plugged in on that. Super Skull and Man, and then there's Shazam, when I did Shazam, and there's Shazam again. Samson and Goliath was one. Oh, God, there's a whole bunch of people here.
Yeah.
Boy, Aurora Monster, Narrator, Professor, Old Man, Native, Eskimo Boy, and then Shazam, and Samson again, and Venusian, Ice Monster, Astronomer, Army Aid, Invader Leader, Samson again, Radio Announcer, Native, I don't know what that is, Herculoids, Andropon Leader, Heavy. Samson again, Captain, Sailor, Salamander Henchman, and General German Baron. And High Priest. Now that was all on Samson. No, Herculoids was the High Priest. And Mitor is another one. I played Fangor on that, whatever he was. And then I did four Samsons in the next session. Radio Announcer somebody Khan, Professor Kincaid, Bank Guard, Professor Cardwell, Rogar, and Darov, whoever that was. Then Shazam again. Well, Shazam, you know what I did. Samson. Narod and Zeros. They're all monster types, outer space types, you know, whatever. Herculoids. Gotron. Galaxy Trio. Drakmore Official. Human Slave, Fantastic Four, King Officer, Herculoids, Torak, Mitor, Bear Leader, Birdman, Spyro, and General. Herculoids, Otan. Herculoids, Neron, and Gladiator. Samson, General, Dr. Desto, Caveman, Flight Leader, and Two Voices. Moby Dick, Crocker, whoever he was. I don't think I worked too many of those. And I don't even remember what the who Moby Dick was. Was it a whale or what, you know? Herculoids, Tora, Pit Creature, Giant Leech. Samson, Technician, Radio Announcer, Prehistoric Monster. Huck Finn, I played Hercules, whatever. Huck Finn was a weird series. It was mostly live action, mm-hmm. but it had a lot of animation in it. So, you know, it was one of the first ones that wedded the two together. Mm-hmm. Well, that's that year. Now we're up to 68.
So do you think there's another Dr.
Oh, these are all second rounds.
Dr. Zeus calling for you one of these days?
Yeah, no way of knowing. I run into him every so often. They did a big special salute to him at the Beverly Hilton about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they called me and Janet Waldo to be on the stage and to read selections from some of his works. Mm. And, of course, the reason for calling me was because I'd done all his records. And oh, he was very happy to see me. And he lives down in San Diego, you know. He lives in La Jolla. Lives in a lighthouse.
I don't know how to get in contact with him yet. It's just I have a list, and it's so hard to fill out that list.
Well, he lives in La Jolla, and everybody knows where the house is because you can see it from the coast, not the coast highway, but, you know, the road that runs along the ocean. Mm-hmm. And it's up on a hill. Mm. It's an old lighthouse, and he lives there. Mm. And everybody in San Diego seems to know how to get in touch with him.
I'm not a San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he has a big deal with Random House, you know. He was in charge of all their kid books. Hmm. I think you could probably reach him through Random House. They published all of his books. And then they finally put him in charge of all the kid books.
Yeah, well, he certainly has done so many of them. I have about 10 of them myself at home. He's someone I can't pass up.
I didn't even see Galaxy Trio in there in that other bunch, but it's in here as a rerun. These are all reruns here, so no new ones. I'm amazed that that's all there are. For Chris, it was a busy year, and a lot of those, as I said, were a whole group of them at once.
Yeah.
Particularly on Shazam, were always two or three at a time. Samson 3, Samson 2, Samson 2, Samson 2, Herculoids 1, Samson 4, Samson and Goliath seems to be the one that and Herculoids are the ones that I really worked a lot.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put an entire list of all of the Hanna-Barbera
mm-hmm.
characters. You know, and all the voice people. So the uh-huh. Hanna-Barbera section, so you would appear in that.
Mm-hmm. See if there's anything in 69. In No, it must have been in 68 that they dropped me, because this is, these are all reruns. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see the UPA ones, if that's in here, because some of those characters were great. Beginning of 67, I did two. Oh, and the McBoing Boing Show. Oh, no, these are reruns. Earlier. There we go. William Tell, Gunga Din, Moby Dick, Three Musketeers, Two Parts, Cyrano de Bergerac, Treasure Island, Rip Van Winkle, Robin Hood, Two Parts, Snow White, Two Parts, Don Quixote, Robin Hood and Snow White, the other parts. Oh, Robin Hood was three and four parts. Oh, they really made a thing out of that. King Arthur, read that one. Oh, Count of Monte Cristo. Paul Revere. See, some of them were historical rather than just famous stories. Don Quixote, two parts. Midsummer Night's Dream. Frankenstein, Captain Kidd. Noah's Ark. Dick Tracy and Sherlock Holmes.
You did a Dick Tracy?
Yeah. I played Prune Face.
Prune. Was he
Prune.
Prune.
Prune Face. He had a face that looked like a prune. He was one of the characters in the comic strip.
I remember it now.
Yeah. All wrinkled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played Prune Face, the Chief, and various voices. In Noah's Ark, I played Japheth, something player, dice player. Wine drinker, thug, onlooker. Captain Kidd, I played Jarvis, Joliffe, merchant, sailor, and officer. Frankenstein. Oh, I was the monster in Frankenstein. Captain Walton, two persons, Bobby and Englishman. Count of Monte Cristo. Foria, Fernand, Morceau, Morel, second in duel, and gendarme. Don Quixote, I was Sancho Panza, the narrator, and Dilka, whoever that was, Midsummer Night's Dream, Duke, Theseus, Lysander, Oberon, Bottom, and Is there a snort? That's what it looks like. But there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of the leading characters in that. Let's see where King Arthur is. Yeah, Robin Hood. I was a sheriff, Little John, Butcher, two guards. And then in the later one, I was Hugh Fitzooth, Robin's father. And the Bishop and Herald, and Richard the Lionhearted. King Arthur, I played King Uther, you know, Uther Pendragon, his father. Sir Ector. It looks like Galeron, but I'm sure that's not right. Cyrano de Bergerac, I played Christian, who is the guy that finally gets Roxanne, you know. Le Bray, monk, servant, and man in audience. Treasure Island, I played the captain, Black Joe, Billy Bones, and another pirate. Moby Dick. I was Captain Ahab in Moby Dick. I don't know what he played. Queequeg. I played both Captain Ahab and Queequeg. Innkeeper, sailor. Gunga Din. I played a Cockney sergeant. And two other characters. This is really faded here. William Tell, grandfather, soldier. And Captain Somebody. Five characters altogether, anyhow. Three Musketeers. I did Porthos, the King, King Louis, innkeeper, guard, and Buckingham. So that was a pretty good cast. I think that's good enough to show you how many I had to do on some of those. Those were funny shows. I enjoyed those very much. And as I mentioned here, a couple of them, you know, they were so good they couldn't do them in one episode.
Yeah.
Robin Hood took four.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else I should look up here?
Well, just to, you know, if you could think of anything to add to what we haven't gone over already.
Here's the Nanny Thomas show where I played the Chinese father. But that was earlier because that's the sixth run.
But you know, you have such a recognizable face, it might be interesting just to mention that you've done, you know, movies and television as well. Do you have any idea of just how many television shows you've appeared on as an actor?
Oh, God, I haven't any idea. I did about 25 movies. The last one I did last year, which hasn't been released that I know of, which was called Prime Time. I played two parts in it. Mm-hmm. It was very funny. It was all episodic. The whole thing is satire on television, you know, like Tunnel Vision and what was the other one, The Groove Tube?
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Seen both of those, yeah.
I thought this would be a successful film, at least what I read of it. I did only saw the sequences and I worked. I played a hotel clerk in a satire on Charlie's Angels. Mm-hmm. And I also did the voice of Charlie, except it was Marty in this one.
Oh, really?
Marty's Maidens or something like that. And there were three big fat gals.
Do you do a good John Forsythe?
Oh, it wasn't any attempt to be a John Forsythe, because this was all a satire, and he was a real tough guy, you know, high New York accent. And then I also played in a commercial for an oil company. I was the president of the oil company sitting at my swimming pool doing this commercial about how we'd found a new source of energy, the Negro. How good they were as chauffeurs and caddies and real satirical thing.
Yeah.
Do you have anything left from the Millionaire series? I mean, as far as old press.
Oh, I have a whole scrapbook on.
Yeah, I know, but do you have any extra stuff? Do you have any piles of, you'd like to say, the press releases that were sent out at the time? Do you have any extra?
No, they're all in the scrapbook.
Yeah. Those are nice.
I didn't keep any duplicates because there wasn't any need to, you know. I had a guy who was the head of a fan club in St. Louis, and if I did get any duplicates, I'd send them to him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find
out. You had a fan club for that show, huh?
Well, actually, I had a fan club that started way back at when I was announcing Sinatra.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of little gals formed a fan club called the Miller Maids. And they stayed loyal for, quite a few years.
Really?
Yeah, long after I was off that. Or after he went off, rather. I don't know whether you have the Cisco Kid in there. I was the announcer on that for quite a few years, and then I also played parts in it a lot.
Yeah, it mentions here that you did that.
Did it? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the reason I wrote that letter in such detail was I thought that might be all you'd need.
Well, I always find that, I listen to these tapes over and over again, mm-hmm. and I always hear things that I didn't hear when I was there. and at times that brings out certain questions that I may call you back on.
Fine.
And ask you. But I already found a lot of information out that I didn't know. It's worth coming down. Besides, it's nice to meet you. If I want to put your face in my book. And
I could give you a biog. I have a biog.
Yeah, that would be really helpful.
It's pretty complete. Of course, it was published about 10 years ago, and what I've done is just put a sheet in the back page that brings it up to a date on, credits or of any importance, that is. I've got some of those out in the office. In fact, I might have a couple up here. I'm just trying to see if there's some other cartoons or kids shows here that I've forgotten about, but there's so many commercials, and that's what takes up all of the room in there.
Mm-hmm.
After all, they pay better than anything else, too. Mm-hmm. I was the announcer on the Chuck Wagon dog food spots when they used the cowboy voice. That was me.
Oh, really?
Chuck Wagon, instant dinner for dogs.
Dogs. Yeah.
What your dog likes best and needs most. I did them. I was the guy on them.
I remember the dog part.
I could use a few more now. I used to do, commercial after commercial for Mattel.
Oh, really?
Toy. Oh, God, yes. Practically all of their commercials.
Hmm.
They must have 1,000 on now, and I don't. I have one.
I have almost the entire Mattel original collection.
Really?
The originals they put out. You know what I mean? The originals. They call them originals. Mattel puts out these, what they call it, it's a series called Originals, and it comes with a little tag on it, and it says Mattel Original, and they put it out copying a show, like the old Beanie Dolls, Beanie and Cecil. I have a few of those Beanies, and of course the Cecil is one too, but anytime there's a program and they want to, like the Munsters, they put out a Munsters doll.
Oh, really?
You know, the ones you pull the string on.
Uh-huh.
All those. I have.
Well, all of the Dr. Seuss toys they made, like the Cat in the Hat.
I have that.
That's me. I did the voices for those toys.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I should have brought that along there. I have that one. That's a collector's piece, by the way.
What, the Cat in the Hat?
Yeah, I bought that cheap for $40.
Oh, Jesus.
That's cheap.
I thought they were still making them. I guess not.
No.
Because the Cat in the Hat is still selling. Oh, yeah. The book, I mean.
They would have put them out. They could sell them.
They also had a book and a telephone. And you dialed a picture of a Seuss character on a telephone. And in the book, you turned a page.
Oh, really?
And you dialed something. And in each one of those, I did the voice.
Huh.
Because I had done all the voices, you know, in the original recordings. Oh, there were one or two they used somebody else on.
It works really lousy, my string, but it says something like, I'm the cat in the hat, and I, you know, or
yeah.
One says, I like you, or...
Yeah, and then they made a little one. It was only this big.
Really?
And he had even shorter lines.
Yeah.
And I did those two.
I have the big one.
I don't know where he went. The little one is gone, but I think the big one is out here.
Oh, you have a big one?
Somebody spilled coffee on him or something, but I think he still works a little.
Mine works really lousy. It's really, really difficult to repair those. Coffee stands.
Mine, I bathe.
Can I take
it? Sure.
Because
I think it works. If it does, it may not be very good.
Mine does the same thing. See how fast it went? Yeah. I can juggle anything. Yeah, it's a. They're really. I can juggle anything. Mine's the same.
And this was the book.
Turn those out anymore. I think that they tried to make those talking things work, and they never really lasted. Can you do a what does the cat in the hat really sound like?
Well, they never recorded it.
Yeah, but I mean, if, I can't hear it on that, but can you do a cat in a hat for me?
Well, I don't remember. I think I played him pretty much like I did Monkey McBean in The Sneetches. And you've heard Fox and Sox, haven't you? And the
record?
Yeah. You never did?
Well, I don't remember it. I mean, like, I've heard all those. I've heard them all. But, you know...
That one. And that's the first one that won a Grammy for me. There's the two Grammys up there.
Green Eggs and Ham, I remember that one.
Well, Fox and Sox is a tongue twister. And I did it twice. I did it straight, and then I did it double time.
Are you ready? We will now recite together that famous tongue twister, Fox in Socks. No. Hold on. Oh, wait a minute. That's too fast. Let's take it. Like this. Fox. Socks. Box. Knocks. Knocks in box. Fox in socks. Knocks on fox in socks. In box. Socks on box. And knocks in box. Fox in socks. On box. On knocks. Chicks with bricks come, chicks with blocks come, chicks with bricks and Blocks and clocks come. Look, sir, Mr. Knox, sir, let's do tricks with bricks and blocks, sir. Let's do
like your
tricks
Zeus.
With chips
huh?
and
That's
kind of
like
sir.
Your Dr. Seuss.
First, I'll make a
this
quick one. Trick brick.
Dr. Seuss.
Then
this kind of sounds like your Cat in the Hat.
Oh, yes.
You yeah. can make a quick trick chick stack. You can make a quick trick clock stack. And here's a new trick, Mr. Knox. Fox on chicks and chicks on fox. Fox on clocks on bricks and blocks. Bricks and blocks on knocks on blocks. Now we come to ticks and tocks, sir. Try to say this, Mr. Knox, sir. Clocks on fox tick, clocks on knocks tock. Six, six bricks tick, six, six chicks tock.
Please, sir, I don't like this trick, sir. My tongue isn't quick or slick, sir. I get all those ticks and clocks, sir, mixed up with the chicks and tots, sir. I can't do it, Mr. Fox, sir.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Knox, sir. Here's an easy game to play. Here's an easy thing to say. New socks, two socks, whose socks, Sue's socks. Who sews who socks? Sue sews Sue socks. Who sees who sew whose new socks, sir? You see Sue sews Sue's new socks, sir.
That's not easy, Mr. Fox, sir.
Who comes? Crow comes. Slow Joe Crow comes. Who sews crow's clothes? Sue sews crow's clothes. Slow Joe Crow sews whose clothes? Sue's clothes. Sue sews socks. A fox in socks now. Slow Joe Crow sews Knox in box now. Sue sews rose on Slow Joe Crow's clothes. Fox sews hose on Slow Joe Crow's nose. Hose grows. Rose grows. Nose hose goes some. Crow's rose grows some.
Mr. Fox, I hate this game, sir. This game makes my tongue quite lame, sir.
Mr. Knox, sir, what a shame, sir. We'll find something new to do now. Here is lots of new blue goo now. New goo. Blue goo. Gooey, gooey, blue goo, new goo. Gluey, gluey, gooey goo for chewy chewing. That's what that goo goose is doing. Do you choose to chew goo too, sir? If, sir, you, sir, choose to chew, sir, with the goo goose, chew, sir, do, sir.
Mr. Fox, sir, I won't do it. I can't say it. I won't chew it.
Very well, sir. Step this way. We'll find another game to play. Bim comes. Ben comes. Bim brings Ben broom. Ben brings Bim broom. Ben bends Bim's broom. Bim bends Ben's broom. Bim's bends.
It's hard to do bends, to our music, isn't it?
Bends,
well, the music was
bends,
added later.
Boom really? Breaks. Bim's bent.
No, I did
breaks.
It to an electronic metronome.
Bends,
oh, really?
Bends,
which you don't hear,
bends,
but you see.
Bends,
and it flashes, you know.
Bends,
and I watched
Bim and Ben lead bends.
And then when we did it double time,
bends,
they just sped it up
bends,
twice. It went.
Bim's bent booms.
Big
you hear
band,
in a minute.
Boom band, big band, boom band.
Actually,
my
I think that's enough of this. I'll put it on
that.
The fast
no,
part.
No, sir. My poor mouth is much too slow, sir.
How many times did it take you to do it? How many times did it take you to do it?
Well, I was pretty lucky.
Really?
A lot of it was first takes up.
A lot of it was
people's battle with
paddles and the bottles on the paddle battle. And
now, wait a minute, Mr. Sox Fox.
Hey, don't put me in the bottle.
But I did. And When the fox is in the bottle, where the tweedle beetles battle with their paddles in a puddle on a noodle-eating poodle, this is what they call a tweedle beetle noodle poodle bottle paddle bottle duddle fuddle waddle fox in socks, sir. Fox in socks, our game is done, sir. Thank you for a lot of fun, sir.
That's the end of this first part, see?
Now let's really twist our tongue. Fox socks, box knocks, knocks in box, fox in socks, knocks on fox in socks and box, socks on knocks and knocks in box, fox in socks on box on knocks. Chicks with bricks come, chicks with blocks come, chicks with bricks and blocks and fox.
You know how these kids wear these records down? I bet you there's some kids that could do it just like that.
First I'll make a quick trick brick stack, then I'll make a quick trick block stack. You can make a quick trick chick stack, you can make a quick trick clock stack. And here's a new trick, Mr. Knox. Socks on chicks and chicks on fox. Fox on bricks and blocks. Bricks and blocks on knocks on box. Try to say this, Mr. Knox, sir. Clocks on fox tick, clocks on knocks tock. Sick, sick, bricks tick, sick, sick, chicks tock.
Please, sir, I don't like this trick, sir. My tongue isn't quick or slick, sir.
Now that was tough. The way I had to do this was every page. Maybe to open two pages, you know. But at the end of the two pages, I had to stop. For one thing, I had to get breath.
That's not easy, Mr. Fox, sir.
Who comes? Crow comes. Slow Joe Crow comes. Who sews crow's clothes? Who sews crow's clothes? Slow Joe Crow sews who's clothes? Who's clothes? Who sews socks? A fox in socks now. Slow Joe Crow sews knocks in box now. Slow Joe Crow's clothes. Fox sews hose on Slow Joe Crow's nose. Hose goes. Rose grows. Nose hose goes some. Crows grows some.
Mr. Fox, I hate this game, sir. This game makes my tongue quite lame, sir.
Mr. Knox, sir, what a shame, sir. We'll find something new to do now. Here is lots of new blue goo now. New goo, blue goo, gooey, gooey, blue goo. New goo, gooey, gooey, gooey goo for chewy chewing. That's what that goo goose is doing. Do you choose to chew goo too, sir? If, sir, you, sir, choose to chew, sir, with the goo goose, chew, sir, do, sir.
Mr. Fox, sir, I won't do it. I can't say it. I won't chew it.
Very well, sir, step this way. We'll find another game to play. Bim comes, Ben comes. Bim brings Ben broom, Ben brings Bim broom. Ben bends Ben's broom, Bim bends Ben's broom. Bim's bends, Ben's bends. Ben's bent broom breaks, Bim's bent broom breaks. Ben's Ben, Bim's Ben. Big bends, pig bends. Bim and Ben lead bends with brooms. Ben's Ben bangs and Bim's Ben booms.
Big Ben, boom Ben, Big Ben, broom Ben. My poor mouth can't say that, no sir. My poor mouth is much too slow, sir.
Well then bring your mouth this way. I'll find it something it can say. Luke La likes lakes. Luke's duck likes lakes. Luke luck licks lakes. Luke's duck licks lakes. Duck takes licks and lakes. Luke luck likes. Luke luck licks takes and lakes. Duck likes.
I can't blab such blibber blubber. My tongue isn't made of rubber.
Mr. Knox, now come now, come now. You don't have to be so dumb now. Try to say this, Mr. Knox, please. Two, three, cheese, trees, three, free, please. Blue, while these trees blue, freezy breeze blue. Freezy breeze made these three trees freeze. Freezy trees made these trees cheese freeze. That's what made these three free fleas sneeze.
Stop it, stop it. That's enough, sir. I can't say such silly stuff, sir.
Very well then, Mr. Knox, sir. Let's have a little talk about tweedle beetles. What do you know about tweedle beetles? Well, when tweedle beetles fight, it's called a tweedle beetle battle. And when they battle in a puddle, it's a tweedle beetle puddle battle. And when tweedle beetles battle with paddles in a puddle, they call it a tweedle beetle puddle paddle battle. And when beetles battle beetles in a puddle paddle battle, and the beetle battle puddle is a puddle in a bottle, they call this a tweedle beetle bottle puddle paddle battle model. And the tweedle battles in a bottle with their paddles and the bottles on a poodle, and the poodle's eating noodles, they call this a muddle puddle tweedle poodle beetle noodle bottle paddle battle.
Now wait a minute, Mr. Socks.
I never heard this. Put me in that battle.
But I did. And when a fox is in a bottle with the tweedle beetles battle with their paddles in a puddle on a noodle eating poodle, this is what they call a tweedle beetle noodle poodle bottle paddle muddle on a puddle while a fox in socks are. Fox in socks are game. Thank you for a lot of fun, sir.
That's great.
I couldn't do that anymore.
Why do you say that?
I couldn't. I just can't move my mouth that fast anymore.
How many years ago was that?
15, anyhow.
Really?
Well, let's see. It was, we had... payments in here. It was about the beginning of the 60s, so it was closer to 18, I guess. Do you remember Green Eggs and Ham?
Green Eggs and Ham is very interesting because that was done with the musicians, and there were just two, mm-hmm. a bass fiddler and a drummer. Mm-hmm. And the drummer was Shelley Mann.
Oh, really?
And it has a damn good beat. It's really syncopated. It's jazz. She's a short book.
He sure is a good writer.
Oh, he's delightful. I did a cartoon.
Do you like green eggs and ham?
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Would you like them here or there?
I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. Yeah.
You do know it,
did I? Green eggs and
I remember the. I think I remember the book, like and then I read it in a similar way.
Uh-huh.
Because
it's a definite rhythm, and they did it with the idea of
like
teaching kids a
house?
Kind of a jazz rhythm, because
like
a beat is so strong in it.
I haven't heard the recording though of this one.
It's an African finger piano.
I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am.
It's an African finger piano in the background. You know, the little board with the springs on it?
Oh, yeah, I have one of those.
Would you eat them in a box?
He called it an African finger piano.
Not in the box, not with a fox, not in the house, not with a mouse. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. I would not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am.
It's great when you have a book to go along with it, too.
Oh, yeah. And these
really
two, we did
it. Book,
yeah. We did it exactly like the book. There, we took a few liberties on Horton Hedges the Egg. Changed a few lines that were funnier the way they were redone, but this one is right with it.
Here they are.
I would not put that in the car.
You may like them. You will see. You may like them in a tree.
I would not, could not in a
sounds
tree.
Like a Jim
not
Henson
in
character.
A car. You
sounds like a what?
Like a Muppet character.
Oh.
In a box.
Well, he's real shaggy like with long ears.
With a fox.
Sam's a little rat.
I do not like them. With a mouse. I do not
it sounds like
them.
A Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs at hand.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.